Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today we start a new chapter. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, but it's all really part of a collection we began sort of in chapter 5, where Jesus is answering questions. Scribes and Pharisees are observing Jesus and his folk and answering questions. And the first couple we had seemed to sort of happen at the same time. Jesus answered questions, most recently about why his disciples aren't fasting and praying. All right, they eat and drink. Before that was, why are you hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus is just explaining to them that you need to see things through a different lens. And that the reason they need to do that is because he is here. He's present. He is God's presence in the world. That does change things. A little while later, but in the same vein, we're going to hear another story. So here it is. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. Some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and gave some to his companions." And then he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So, we had a question before about the company you keep. Now we're hearing, then we heard about, why aren't you fasting and praying? These are our traditions. Now we have a question about the Sabbath. Because, you see, a good, pious person, somebody who's in a proper relationship with God and the community, would not be with tax collectors and sinners. Would be known for fasting and praying. You'd know about their piety, and they certainly would keep the Sabbath rules. That's what they would do. That's a way of living respectfully in the world. And we're getting these questions that indicate that Jesus and his followers are not living respectfully. Okay? They're hanging out with those people that your mother told you not to be with. They don't seem to spend any time fasting and praying. I mean, no one at that point says, well, how do you know they don't fast and pray? Are you with them 24/7? Do you have any idea what goes on at 5 in the morning? Do you know if they eat all day, every day? You don't know that. All you know is the appearance, right? Today they are flagrantly breaking a rule, no question. So it's a different kind of thing. They're plucking the heads from the grain and they're eating them. It's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do that. And for those of us who are not raised in those traditions, it seems silly. I said, well, why can't you just have some grain? Why can't you eat? Why couldn't you prepare food on the Sabbath? Whereas there are many people who don't. For them, this is considered to be work. And the idea is to have time in the week when you are not working. And every time that you go to work and you don't, you are reminded that your faith is greater than your basic hunger, greater than your usual custom, greater, all those kind of things. It's a sign of respect to God, right? So that's part of it. We're not supposed to work. Also, I mean, we tie that into after creation, God rested. So therefore, we should rest. But mostly, it's about having that Sabbath time when we recognize that the most important part of our lives actually is our faith. So we put everything else aside, including work. Great. But the lads are taking grain and crushing it in their hands. So basically, they're milling. That's work. Okay? Not dramatically, but it's work. And therefore, they shouldn't be doing it. Jesus says to them, throw scripture at them. So remember that time that David and his companions were hungry? And they entered the house of God and they ate the bread of the presence. Well, yeah, which they're not supposed to do. Only priests are allowed to have it. But David had it and gave it to his companions. So on one hand, I can hear that and go, all right, so Jesus is asserting in some way that he is David, that he is the Messiah, right? That's the expectation of the Messiah. The Messiah is the next David. And so here is Jesus asserting that, or Luke telling us the story so we can have an assertion here. Because if it was okay for David to do it, then it's okay for Jesus to do it, right? So it's okay for David's companions to eat of that bread. It's okay for Jesus' companions, because Jesus is, like David, is the Messiah. Sure. Now, Jesus goes a little further and says the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So again, it's much like the bridegroom from a couple of days ago. Just saying, well, wait a minute. Actually, bridegroom was yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, just saying, no, I am God's presence in the world, so the rules don't apply. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. If you're taking the Sabbath as a way of getting closer to God, I'm already here. If you're looking at it as a time that I can focus on God, I'm already here. So the rules don't apply. I get that. But what does that mean to me? What does that mean to those of us who don't practice, strict Sabbath rules? You know, I don't know what your Sabbath practice is, whether your Sabbath practices happen on Sunday. But the thing is, I work on Sundays. I absolutely do work on Sundays. And I'll be honest, I sometimes shop on the way home too. I get stuff for dinner. And then I make dinner. My wife and I didn't make dinner the day before, just have it waiting there for us. I don't do those things. I do work. I feed my cat. I do all sorts of things that would be considered work on the Sabbath. So what is this saying to me? Because I don't keep the Sabbath this way, so what do I care? But I think that underneath this, at least for me, what Jesus is pointing out. So have you not read what David did when he entered and his companions were hungry? In that story, the thing is, his companions were hungry. They were very hungry. They weren't just like, a little peckish, like a snack, no Doritos. Oh, how about the bread of presence? No, they were famished hungry. They needed to eat, all right? It was unhealthy for them to not be eating. So some of this to me is a statement that there are things sometimes more important than religious practices. There are things more important than our rituals. And we say, well, we want to keep those rituals. We want to honor God. But I think that God wants us to honor life. I think that's what God expects us. If we really want to honor God, then we honor life. And I don't mean this as a condescending criticism, but it astounds me when I see people of different orthodoxies, very, very firm in their faith, and they won't break that rule, regardless. So I have great respect. So in Canada, I don't know if anyone will remember the Reichmans or the Bronfmans, but anyway, the Reichmans, big property owners, big business, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars invested here and there. Also Orthodox Jews. And so all business stopped Friday mid-afternoon. Done. Famously, I mean, there were deals that were being hammered out, and the Reichmans walked away from the table because Sabbath was coming, and that was more important than multi-million dollar deals, more important than acquiring real estate, more important than all those things, more important than business. And people used to roll their eyes at that. I grew up knowing those stories, and I appreciated that. I respected that, absolutely. Chariots of Fire. Refusing to run on the Sabbath. Get it. There are things more important. Absolutely. But then I also hear stories, real stories, not made up, real examples, of when in an Orthodox, a place defined by the Orthodoxy, Orthodox quarter of Jerusalem, ambulances being refused entry. Right, somebody's had a heart attack, the ambulance is coming in to save that person, and people pelting stones at the ambulance, refusing the ambulance to let go in and save somebody, go in and tend to somebody who is in distress. I struggle with that. And I think that the story of David feeding his companions and the way Jesus speaks of it here is the reason that I struggle with that. Yes, there are... God is more important than business, and God is more important perhaps than casual things. I might criticize the lads here for plucking the grain. I mean, it's so easy to keep the Sabbath here, guys. Really, are you really that hungry? But Jesus is turning that around into a lesson, saying, "Yeah, but life is important too." Right? I think there are statements being made about who Jesus is, and much like the bridegroom one, I'm here now, so right now the rules don't have to apply. I got all of that. But the meaning in it for me is, yes, there are rites and rituals. There are ways that I display my faith, not just for the world to see, but to remind myself. So I do carve out Sabbath time for myself. Nobody else knows about it. I don't show it off. But I recognize there is a need for me to shut everything down and just focus on God. And that is important. I got it. But I honor God even more when I protect life. If people are hungry, they're starving, I should feed them, whether it breaks Sabbath law or not. I believe that's what Jesus is telling me. In using that David story. There are some things more important. Yes, if you're not hungry, stay away from that bread of presence. Absolutely. In fact, if you are hungry, see if you can do something else. But if you can't, don't take your desire to follow the rules, don't take that desire to honor God to the point where you will die or cause others to die. So I can't personally support a crusade, a holy jihad. I can't support the idea that we would martyr ourselves, kill ourselves, or kill others in the name of God. I don't. Now, then that comes around, and so you wouldn't be a martyr for your faith. You know, following God's will, you wouldn't put your life at risk for somebody else. Yes, but for somebody else. Not just for the sake of dying. No, I would not. I would not die just to make a point about how faithful I am. But I would die if it meant preserving somebody else's life. Because I think God is always going to call us into life, whether it's in little things or big things. And for most of us, thankfully, it's little things. I don't think that I am going to be likely to be called to die, that someone else might live. But I will be called from time to time to interrupt my religious routine. I'm sorry, the service is starting in 5 minutes. I don't have time to talk to you right now about your homelessness or your need for support. Could you wait? And as I've had this, and I'm looking at that person and asking, can you wait for 75 minutes? That's how long church goes. Can you wait? Just give me an hour and a half, and we can sit down and talk a little bit further, and I'll see what I can do. I can help you, and I can see the look of their faces. I can see what's happening and realize they're disassembling. They're not going to be here in an hour. I know there's 100 people waiting for me, but I know in this moment, this person needs me. So those people are going to wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes while I do what God's calling to me in this moment, because God's calling me to attend to this person's life. They will go on suffering longer than necessary if I don't tend to them now. That's the kind of thing I get called into. Oh, God, if you give money to people who are begging on the street, you just encourage them. Yeah, and it's very fashionable now for people to say that and to like, oh, don't, just encourage them. And yet I sometimes think God is calling me into life. And so I'm going to break that rule sometimes. Maybe not all the time, but I'm going to break that rule because I think God calls me into life. And so even if I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm doing it for the right reasons. I'm doing it for life. So I think God always calls us into life. David and his and it wasn't so much David as much as it was his companions. They were truly hungry. They needed food. And so David took the bread of the presence. Because feeding people, sustaining life, honoring life is more important than honoring God by keeping some bread there that we don't ever touch. That's where I go on that. That's how that story affects me at the moment. I don't know. I'm going to leave that right now. I'm going to just leave that with you. Short one today. See what you think. Do the disciples need to do this? Are they being provocative? Is Jesus defending them? Because he thinks that they what they're doing is right or okay, or is he taking this moment to try and teach us a variety of things, or is Luke framing it this way so that we can see Jesus as Messiah, we can see Jesus as the one who rewrites everything? If Sabbath, much like fasting and praying, is a way for us to get closer to God, is it just a repeat of the last story where Jesus is saying, you can't get closer to God than being with me? Don't need a Sabbath here, do you? Because you're with me. Is that a continuation? But is there something in it for us that applies to the way we live now? Yeah. I'll leave it with you and offer a prayer. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for this time of wonder. Thank you for the opportunity to listen for your word, to understand how your word speaks to our lives. Thank you, God, for the wisdom and the hope that emerges when we dare to wonder and when we hear you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough for me today, but I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until I see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and loves you. God knows you exactly as you are. And God's love moves through you into the world in amazing ways. That is what it is to be blessed, to be seen, and for God's love to not only surround you, but to move through you. So thank you for being you. Thank you for taking God's love where you take it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.